cleanse my heart of my enemies, as you have cleansed the prophet Isaiah by the burning of the coal, that I may boldly proclaim the gospel of the Christ.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. Alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And
with your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you." He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to
you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today is a bittersweet day for me. I bore the name Dominic for 16 years in religious life as a member of the order which he founded. Today's always a hard day. Father George even offered to take the mass because he knows that it's tough for me. It's something like what your anniversary becomes after you get divorced. But it's important because, of course, what drew me to the order to begin with was this character of Dominic de Guzman. What happened was, when I was about 16, I was working at Dowling over the summer to work off tuition, and they were cleaning out the library. This is right at the beginning of sort of internet being what drives schools instead of books. And so I was given the task of throwing out literally wheelbarrows full of books. And I'm a nerdy kid. That was hell. And so what I did was I stole the books. I couldn't steal all of them, but I would take them out to the dumpster, and then instead of dumping all of them in, I would dump some of them beside the dumpster, and then after work I would go back and save the ones that I could. And I found a book by G.K. Chesterton called The Dumb Ox, which is not about St. Dominic, but is about St. Thomas Aquinas. But the first chapter is sort of a back and forth about St. Francis and St. Dominic. And I was so captured as a kid reading this, I thought to myself, if anybody's still doing that thing, that's the thing I want to do. And I was privileged because for many years I was able to. What was that thing? Well, looking back on it now, I think St. Dominic is an awful lot like Moses and Aaron appear in this passage, and like Peter appears in this one. When we add the title saint to a person, we can make it sound like there's something wholly unlike and other than the rest of us. Or that minimally, because we know that some of them were terrible sinners, that there's some sort of decisive moment. There's a point in time before which we're allowed to grant they weren't always great, but after which everything was different. And maybe there are people like that, but I've never met one. I think it's something much more like what we see here with Moses and Aaron. Of course they trust in the Lord, at least generically. He literally opened an ocean for them. So it's not like a total betrayal of Yahweh. That's not what's happening here. But he hits the rock and it don't work. So what do? You hit the rock again. In some ways, right, we can be sympathetic both to Moses and Aaron here and to Peter in that Jesus' admonition, and it's kind of a jerk move, right? Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Well, of course I am. I'm a human being. Don't expect me to do things I can't do. St. Dominic had the same kind of a problem. What attracted me to him at the beginning is not what attracts me to him now. But the place that St. Dominic occupies in my life at this point is what he was doing at about this point in his life, which is to say, not very much. So he attempted to found an order, and nothing happened for 10 years. He converted what had been a brothel into a nunnery, you know, like you do. And so there were like 6 girls at the beginning that he was able to get to be nuns. But then after that, no converts for 6 years. He was the only Christian. It was he and these 6 women, and the villagers had all fallen into heresy. Nobody was around, and they kept trying to kill him, and it was terrible. And then one day something changed. And we don't know what it is. Of course, the Blessed Mother gave him the rosary, but we don't know when that happened. So it's not like the rosary is what fixed all of his problems. Probably he just kept getting up and saying office and celebrating Mass like he did every day before that. And probably he was good at it much of the time and not good at it some of the time. We know he had a temper, so he certainly lost it with his staff. But mostly he just addled through. Much of the time it worked, some of the time it didn't. Poor Peter here, right, is saint in the first half of the passage and sinner the next moment. He's given this terrific revelation, which Jesus says explicitly comes from God. And then the next moment, he's not thinking the way God wants him to, but the way that we tend to. But you know, it's not like Peter just suddenly changes, either here or after the resurrection, even after that great moment of forgiveness on the seashore. You know the last story we tell about St. Peter. Nero's burning the city and Peter gets out of Dodge. He's trying to run away. And he meets the Lord going into Rome instead of out of it. And he says, Domine quo vadis, Lord, where are you going? I go to Rome again to be crucified. So Peter went back and was crucified. But right up to the end, saint, sinner, the Lutherans have something right when they say that it's not like we're 48% one and 52% the other. There's something of both living in us all the time. The question isn't simply whether or not you can get to the place where you have fewer debits on your ledger than credits. It's whether or not you're willing to stay faithful, even if sometimes you muck it up and the Lord has to correct you. It's about whether or not you can stay constant, even when you want to quit. It's about whether or not you're willing to let the Lord work even with your mistakes, with hitting the rock twice or sticking your foot in your mouth. That should give us hope and should make sense of what we do here each day.